I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I
moments like these.
In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord.
How much do you love him this morning?
Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing,
one more time.
Love you.
Yes. Singing, I love you, Lord.
Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I
amen. You may be seated. It is good to be in the house today. No place I'd rather be. Go ahead, brother.
I worked late Friday night, and then about 3 a.m. on Saturday morning, I woke up wide awake, couldn't sleep, didn't want to disturb Sandra to get up, but I remember what Brother Duskin said, when you're wide awake at 3 a.m. in the morning, it's probably because God wants to talk to you. So I stopped and thought, well, Lord, what do you got to say? And it wasn't but moments later, a bunch of verses just started popping in one after another.
Amen.
Much more eloquent than what I'm going to say, because this is James' translation. But I went back and, after I wrote it down, I went back and put the actual verses in. So if you want to check it out on your own, you can.
Amen.
Saved by grace through faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. Right. Ephesians 2:8-9. Romans 10:7, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Yes, yes.
Corinthians 12:9, faith is one of the gifts of the Spirit.
Amen.
So you can't even get the faith to hear unless it's given to you.
Yes, amen.
Matthew 11:5, Matthew 13:9, and Revelation 3:22, he that has an ear, let him hear.
Right.
And then it went to John 8:43. Why can't you hear me, oh, you are your father the devil? And I was sort of thinking, study will not give you an ear to hear. Money cannot buy you an hearing aid that's going to let you hear God.
Amen.
Genetics will not give you an ear to hear. Don't matter who your parents were. It's God through his election that grants us an ear.
Amen.
But it's up to us to listen to him once you have it.
Amen.
You know, we and that was, There was a whole lot more, but that's the gist of it. I'm not going to suck everyone's time, but it's really important, that last fact, that you have to participate in that ear to hear. I know my children can hear me, but that don't mean they get up and pick up their toys or do their homework. And we're His children. We might hear, but it's what we do that matters.
Amen. Sister Joy, and then while you're getting ready, Sister Jen, if you want to testify while Sister Joy is getting ready, go ahead.
Yeah, I heard that. He woke me up and you must do, express, manifest what He wants you to do.
Amen.
I'm sure He wants me to read this. I don't want to take away from the ministry. I'm not.
But hear you.
St. John 20:19-23. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, where the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when He had said so, shewed them unto His hands and His side. When they were disciples, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Well, I'll let you read the rest, but just glad to be here.
Amen.
I just want to thank God first, for keeping me here, and that I made it this year, 2025, that I'm still here.
Amen.
He woke me up this morning and bring me here one more time.
Yes.
And, you know, so thankful for this place, and I do love this body. The people that are carrying the Word of God.
Amen.
The people that are so sacred, so just carrying the Word of God is here. I'm just so thankful that I recognize that myself, that God is here through His Word, and so
Amen.
Thankful and grateful that I'm part of this body, and
yes.
Of course I want to do my part, and I just don't want to just sit here like said that, like you just sit like a log. I do not want to do that.
Amen.
I want God to use me, you know, not
yes.
just like sitting and not doing anything, you know. Pastor Moore even said that, you know, that everyone has a part here, and I want to play my part, you
Amen.
Know, I want to play my part, and I want to, my heart's desire is I just want to do a dedication more year 2025, if, you know, if we're still here. So that's my heart's desire.
Amen.
And I miss my daughter so much, and I didn't see her for like 5 years, but I know that sometimes I'm kind of tired. I'm tired of crying, but I know that faith can move everything.
Amen.
So I have this faith. You know, my faith is bigger than the ocean thing. That one
Amen.
Day, my daughter, we're gonna turn around. I'm gonna see her there, walking
yes.
this door. So that's my faith.
Walk with faith in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. For the faith in your heart, this world is not your home. You never will grieve if with Him you believe and walk with faith in your heart. When the dreams that you dream seem to disappear from view, that's the time to hang on, and soon they will come true. He will lighten your load as you travel life's road. So walk with faith in your heart. Whenever you have troubles, just reach out for His hand.
Ahead, sis, and then we got you, Brother Seth, next. I know you're a little bit more long-winded, so save the best for last.
Always get nervous when I get up here. First, I want to thank God for everything of 2024. You know, hoping next year will be a better year, but 2024 will be good. Or 2025 will hopefully be better. You know, I was thinking about my daughter this morning, you know, like with Sister Joy, you know. Girls are a little bit harder. I don't know why that is, but they are. You know, my daughter, I've been telling her, you know, because she's been angry at God for like a minute. And she told me the other day, she's been going through a lot, like with her son's father or her daughter's children's father. And she's been crying a lot. And she was like, Mom, she's like, God talked to me, and that meant a lot to me because I've been telling her to talk to God. He's always there, you know. She was like, He answered me, Mom. I can hear His voice plain as day. He told me to leave Him alone, you know. She's been asking for guidance, so I thank God for that. And then, not a lighter note, but I don't know if any of you guys watched that Jamie Foxx special on Netflix. Well, Sister Belinda, I already told her about it. Did you see it? You know, some parts to me were cheesy, but the man had a revelation. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had a stroke. And, you know, he was talking about, you know, God, you know, like, why me? You know, look at what you're doing to my children. You know, they're suffering because you got me here. And he's like, did you see what they did to mine? My only begotten son. Which made me really realize, you know, the pain and suffering that we have over here is really nothing compared to what Jesus did. Amen. You know, and He suffered, like He said, look what they did to my only son. And then He said, He was also talking about, you know, like I told Kevin, I was sitting there breaking down to the Jamie Foxx thing, you know, because it hit me a certain way. He was also talking about, like, with him having the stroke, you know, he's saying that he talks to God differently than we do. You know, he's using a couple choice words. But just the fact that he said, he was telling God, he's like, why me? You know, he said, there's rapists, there's murderers. He's like, why me? He said, because they belong to somebody else. They don't belong to me. And then he said, but you know, I've done all these things. And he mentioned the fact that he used to sing in church, and God asked him, when's the last time you went to church? And just the fact that, you know, like he said, God gave me riches. He gave me talent. He gave me looks. He said, but I forgot about Him for a minute. And you do forget about God sometimes, you know what I'm saying? And you shouldn't. He's the only one that keeps you up. He's the only one that is going to be there when no one else is going to be there. You think this real world really cares about you? They don't. And, you know, I just, that was deep for me. And especially deep for me, the fact that he said, look what they did to my son. You know, and I'm just saying, you get what you get out of things. You hear what you hear from things. And I reflected that in my own life, you know, dealing with the last 3 years for me and Kevin's been really rough. You know, me having cancer, then my knee replacement, and now my back, and I'm pretty much kind of crippled right now. I'm just asking God to bring me the right doctor. I'll deal with what I have to deal with, and I know that I'm going to get through it, and I try to stay strong. You know, the devil does play on your mind, or I might be playing on my own mind sometimes. You know, I don't always blame it on the devil. I could, you know, you have your woes me days. I always pick myself up. One thing I've learned about me, I know that I'm strong. I've been through a lot in my life. And I'm still here, and I'm still holding it down for my kids, because, you know, they still need me, even though they're adults, they still need me. And the fact that I've been telling my daughter to keep talking to God, because like I said, she was angry, I was so happy that she talked to him and he answered her. That shows that she still belongs to God. Amen. But I want to wish everybody Merry Christmas and peace in the world.
Amen. You know, just the fact that she showed up this morning is a smack in the devil's face. It just shows the push. The fact that you come all the way up here just to pour your heart out and to say what's on your heart, that's the push. You know, so it's God in simplicity, you know, it's in the little things that we need to look at that we barely look at. You know, we overlook some of these things, like we just read right over some of these scriptures. And it's looking at the things that God really cares about the most. Everything else is negotiable, like somebody said in here. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Brother Seth.
It's good to be here one more time. Amen. I tell you what, I woke up and I was, been a little bit of an emotional day. You have to, and not sad, but I'm so grateful and thankful for this year.
Right.
It's been a year of dedication.
Oh, yeah.
And I look back and I was thinking about that song. Look where he's brought me from to where I'm at today.
Oh my.
I tell you what, I'm a mess, but in a good way. Yeah. In such a good way. I'm so thankful for the rest that I have here. I'm so thankful that when I have the opportunity to be out there, I get to see all those wonderful faces coming in, the very reflection and manifestation of God walking through those doors.
Yes.
I don't see the flesh.
No.
I don't see the flesh. I see God.
Yes.
And you've seen that song, seeing a love story.
Yes.
The fact that no matter what comes across your path, you can overcome it. No matter what question you have an answer. No matter what problem you have, it doesn't matter. The fact that, you know what, when you're just a believer.
Right.
He says, I know you not because I have no part of you.
Right. Right.
But I'm the very part of you. He poured himself into us.
Yeah,
I love that, because you know what that does? It makes everything else so small.
Yes.
It makes everything else so pair comparison. And I was just thinking, I was like, you know what? Look, if you would have asked me, let's just say December 2023, you know, the world may have gotten me a little bit different, but I didn't know what I know now.
Right, right.
I didn't know what I know now. You ask me that same question today, I'll tell you a different answer.
Amen.
I know something different.
Oh, yes.
I know who I am. He said, why cry, shout?
Right. Yeah.
If you don't walk up to a problem, what are you going to do to it? You're going to tell it to move.
Right. Yeah.
I'm about my Father's business. I have a job to do. You're not going to sit there and let it drag you down. And I love when you people talk about faith. Oh, I love faith. Because you know what?
Yes.
You have to have faith until you actually see it.
Yeah.
Once you see it, it's a revelation.
Yeah.
You don't need faith once you have a revelation.
Oh, yeah.
It's a terrible thing when you don't know, oh, am I going to be able to walk? Are my kids going to be okay? Is everything going to be all right? But you know what you do? God said, by my stripes you are healed.
Yeah.
What are you going to say else to that? There's nothing else to say. He said, by your stripes I'm healed. Then I'm healed. I claim in his name.
Amen.
And you know what you do is the devil wants to talk you out of it. He wants to make the circumstances and the education and the numbers and your lab work looks like this and the x-rays look like this. And the physical therapy says this. Well, my God says I'm healed.
Amen.
You know, you got to stand on that. There comes a point in time when you've got to stand on that. Well, my daughter, I'm worried about her. I'm worried about her. I'm worried about my kids. I'm worried about my wife. But you know what? I tell you what, there's going to be one thing that's going to fix it all. It's going to be a rapture.
Come on.
That rapture will fix your body. That rapture will fix your mind. Will fix your loved ones. Will fix your money problems, your smoking problems, your drinking problems.
Come on. There,
it doesn't matter. Because what you got to have is you got to have a revelation. And that's what a rapture is going to be, is a revelation. It's going to come across that pulpit because a revelation comes by preaching.
Yeah.
Someone has to preach it.
Yes.
So that means that you have to come and hear it.
Yeah.
Come and listen to a man who brings it word upon word. You can't come in here and just be like, well, I'm going to get it at home. I'm going to study it myself. You couldn't study this. God has to reveal it to you.
That's right.
So when you see this whole entire, you know, I love the fact that it's called, I love the evidence-based. Evidence-based, you see this, he's done it time and time again. On Sundays, he gives it to you. On Wednesdays, he gives it to you. On Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays. It's not just one day. He gives you a rest throughout the whole thing. But I tell you, it just excites me because, you know, the devil will play with you. The devil will make that to the point where he's like, oh, I'm good, but then I'm not good. I'm okay, but I'm not okay. He's an altar of confusion.
Right.
But God, he puts it all in perspective.
Oh, yes.
I'm not torn. I'm not tattered. I'm not beaten. I'm not bruised. I am more than a conqueror. And I tell you what, when I'm feeling bad or I'm feeling sad, there's a scripture in Romans. Yeah. What shall separate me from the love of God? What shall separate me?
Come on.
Then what be against me? There's a list of things. And I tell you what, that list, first couple of parts of that list, neither death, that's a wrap right there.
Yeah.
Because if this earthly tabernacle fall away, I have something better for me.
Amen.
So already there I've won. Or life, guess what? You got to go through it.
Yes.
I will not be separated.
Amen.
And if God loves me, then guess what? He will make a way. He'll put that ram in the bush.
Amen.
But you know what? There comes a point in time where why cry? Shout. Claim it. He says, get that confidence back. And that rapture's going to come from the body.
That's right.
You got to start talking like it. You think God went across like, well, Lazarus, maybe if you feel like getting up, maybe if it's okay with you, you know, get up. Get up, little bride.
Amen.
Bring your shoulders back. We got a rapture to
come
do.
On.
We got a body change to happen. I didn't come in here to warm a bench.
Come
I didn't come in here for forms and fashions. I didn't come in here to just sit around and be like, well, maybe it's just another Sunday. It's just another Christmas. I don't care about the holidays. Jesus wasn't even born in December. This is all just a pagan. It's a Catholic construct.
Right.
But I tell you what, I did come. I came to praise God.
Amen.
I came to hear the word.
Yeah.
I came to listen and hear. And I've already talked to God this morning. I don't know. You know, we always come in almost just to be like worked up. I don't need to be worked up.
No, like Elise says,
just I brought a dish.
Amen.
It's not the same without my spice.
Come on.
It's not the same without me. That's the way everyone should be.
Amen.
You talk about the year of dedication. You can't get any more dedicated than that.
Yeah.
You can't talk about food. One of the most popular, important seasonings is salt.
Yeah.
You try to make food without salt, you know what? You'll live, but it doesn't taste as good.
That's right.
We are the salt.
The salt of the world.
The salt of the world.
We
bring the spice. We bring the seasoning. We bring the flavor.
Come on.
But you got to bring it, though. You can't just come here and sit like some sort of dead piece of meat. If it doesn't get you excited, then I doubt that it's in you.
Amen.
I have every route to doubt it. But you know what? I'm thankful for revelation.
Yes,
if nothing else, that he revealed one thing. If he reveals one thing, that's a wrap. You're done. You're signed, sealed, delivered. Anything else he gives you is just icing on the cake.
Amen.
That one revelation ties you back to the body. It's done. If that old soul can agree one time, you'll never be the same.
Amen.
You'll be that old lady at the well who life was a mess.
Yeah.
I perceive you. I believe it. Amen. Right, Every single word.
Amen.
Amen. You know, talking about faith there real quick. You know, every bit of your faith culminates in a revelation.
Yes.
That's what faith is for, to get you to a revelation, to get you to an understanding.
Yes.
You have a little faith in God. He'll move. And you understand, he does move.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so thankful that's the way it works. And then that revelation, Brother Bram said, Revelation is faith.
Yeah.
Faith is revelation. It's the same thing. You know, in this day, we have an understanding of who we are, where
Amen.
We're at. Everything we meet, not just every man we meet, but every situation we meet,
yes.
we have a revelation right. of that situation.
Oh, yeah.
Knowing that God will move, knowing that he's right there. You know, he's talking about, you know, we singing, you know, making melody in our heart, having faith, walking by faith, knowing that God's going to deal with me, God's going to talk with me.
Amen.
You know, if I'm talking to somebody and they're distracted, I stop talking. They don't want to hear me, you know. So, you know, lend an ear, you know. He that hath an ear, give him your ear.
Yes.
Say, Lord, what do you want today?
Yes.
You know, be in that frame of mind all the time. And it takes an effort, you know, and it's your choice to do it. You know, you can walk, get caught up in the world. I do it. I'll go for a day or two and not really think about anything too deep or anything. And then I find myself kind of out away from God, so to speak.
Yes.
You know, it's not that I can't get right back with him, because I know how to get back with him. Start thinking on his word.
Yeah.
You know, he wakes me up in the morning. I said, you know, what do you want?
Wow.
You know, I'm right here.
Yeah.
Before I wake up in the morning, oh, I got to get up in the morning. I got to do this tomorrow. He ain't going to talk to me.
Right.
Oh, I got to get back to sleep. Why am I awake, you know? You got to be in that right frame of mind. And, you know, the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Look for that leading. Look for that leading every day of your life. If you're looking for a doctor, look for that leading. You know, make your decision, live by it, you know. And have faith. Say, don't just sit there and go around in circles.
Yeah.
Go a certain direction.
Yeah.
Say, Lord, you're going to guide me.
That's
I'm
right.
moving my feet. We're going to go in the right direction, you
Amen.
Know. And he's got it. He can change anything. He can move anything. He knows all things. I have nothing to fear, and I'm so thankful. For that, I'm thankful for this day. This day is, or this year, you know, was absolutely wonderful to me. You talk about getting in that frame of mind. That has really dealt with me this year, because I'm looking for him. You know, I'm not just sitting back waiting. Well, he's big enough; he can make me do whatever. Well, he ain't gonna make you do anything. Truth be known, unless you want it. You know, sometimes you know a man will talk to his wife and she don't want to hear him. There's nothing else he can do. He's not even inspired to talk to him, to her anymore. So, you know, it's a relationship. It's a love affair, like you've been saying. It's just, Lord, I'm yours.
Yes.
And you're mine.
Yes.
And we're just walking through this thing. And I don't want anything to distract me from that. I don't want anything to turn my head at all.
Amen.
And that's up to me.
Amen.
The devil's got no hold on me. I'm passing from death unto life. If God be for me, who can be against me? All things
Amen.
Work for my good. I don't have anything. It's all uphill from here.
Yeah.
You know, you get to play something. Well, it's all downhill from here. Well, it's all uphill from here.
Uh-huh.
You know, more faith, more revelation, more understanding.
Right.
One day I'll awaken his likeness.
That's right.
Amen.
Any old dead thing can float downstream, but
sure.
it takes something with life to swim upstream, get hit by everything coming down, all the garbage, all the trash.
That's right.
So we've got three more testimonies. Right. Sis, you'll be the last one. But we need food and drink. So let's go ahead and sing When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, key of G.
I will be there.
You can count on me being there. And we'll start with the chorus.
When the roll is called up yonder.
1,000 shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder.
I'm just going to take a moment.
Yes.
Amen.
Last time I got up here, it was so emotional because I was so full.
Yeah.
Like today. But what I heard Wednesday is why cry, speak. So I'm going to try to speak without my emotions, because what I also heard is that I'm sealed. My seed is sealed not only in, but the devil is sealed out. And I want him to know that he's sealed out. And I'm not claiming anything that he is trying on me. So I want to stand and say that. And when you all talk about having a rest, I didn't understand it, but I do now. It is totally different from resting in a bed. It is totally different from resting from vacation. It is a rest from all this tribulation in the world. And it feels so much better than I ever knew. And I thank you all for continually saying that. Because now I know what that means, and I know how that feels. And just thinking on the world growing dim. You all know the commercials with the easy button. This may not be easy, but I've changed my easy button to a dimmer. So those things and those phone calls, I push my dimmer button. Because I don't have to deal with those things. And I just say dimmer, and dimmer, and dimmer.
Yes.
And that works for me.
Amen.
And you sang that song, and I had one in mind. I don't want to sing it, but it just wraps up how I feel. Thank you, Jesus. I knew he would come through, because he always does.
He always does.
I'm trying to take my time. Because I know I've been sealed to the day of redemption. And there is nothing more I can do because he's already done. And I just want you know who to know there is nothing he can do. If I don't make it back tonight, I put it on his record.
I know that's
that
right.
I'm already sealed and delivered.
Amen.
One.
We are a peculiar people. You know, we're just so blessed. We know the revelation. We have that. We're the only people. We're the only body that knows God's mind. We have it. And we have it right here. And, you know, when we walk out there, they may just see the flesh, but it's God in their presence, and it's on their hands.
Yes.
But what I wanted to say was everything that I've heard up to this point just brings me back to remembrance, this scripture in Hebrews that I read the other day, and I go, wow, this kind of fits in with that. And, you know, no matter what we go through in life, I mean, all of us, we've got our own issues, you know. I mean, I've got mine, but you know, amen. I'm not worried about that. We all have our own issues, but you know, the thing that helps us to overcome is knowing the one that lives inside us. But I want to read this because I think this is so fitting. This
amen.
Is Hebrews 13, 15, I think. Yeah, it reads, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually."
Amen.
Continually.
Amen.
You know, not when you feel good.
Right.
You know, not when things are going in your favor.
Okay.
But in the low times, in the bad times, you know,
sure.
when you're feeling down.
No.
Continually. You know, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name.
Yeah.
Why? Why would we do that? Why? You know, I mean, it's the word, you know, God knows. I mean, we're eternal creatures. You know, this, what we have here is just temporary.
Yeah.
You know, this, we come here to get fortified, to get the word.
Amen.
You know, and go back out there. And
right.
that's what sustains me, you know,
yes.
so that I can
amen.
Make it to the next service.
Amen.
But along the way, just to help pump ourselves up, pump me up, you know, it's always good to just keep your mind on things that are, you know, godly.
Yes.
And you know, having the ability to thank God despite what you're going through, you know there's
amen.
The light at the end of the tunnel.
Amen.
We've got something to look forward to that
yes.
the world doesn't have.
We've got a hope.
And, you know, it's just beautiful. So, yes, I can go through this. You know, I'm an overcomer. And, you know, if I have to thank God through tears, or through sadness, so be it.
Amen.
Because I know I am victorious.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Go ahead, sis. You'll be the last one.
Have
yes.
faith in God.
Have faith in God. helper. I don't ever want to come to the house of God and not get up. Amen. The table of the Lord is spread. The seals have been broken. Amen. He has given us all things. So why wouldn't I drop in to this dimension? Woo! Like you, Sister Mel, control emotions. Because I'm passionate about this. I'm passionate about this. I was laying thinking about him this morning. And I said, now I know that no matter what comes, no matter what goes, no matter if I feel it, no matter if it looks like it, no matter if it don't look like it, he's the same. He's faithful. So today I'm just having faith in him, having faith in his word. Even when you don't see it, Sister Christy, and it doesn't look like nothing's happening, he's still doing it. He's faithful. He promised. He said, anything you ask in my name. Now, wait a minute. God said that all that he was, he poured into Christ. And all he pulled in Christ, he poured in a bride. Now he either did it or he didn't. That's right. So that's where I'm at. I'm having faith in God, saints. I'm having faith in God, Mel. I believe in Brother Ted. Oh, yes, he's faithful. I thank him for an opportunity. And it is an opportunity. We don't know when we'll lose this. Don't take it for granted. And you know you can still be here but not be able to do anything. Now, I'm not a spring chicken anymore, but I want to give God praise for bringing that man in my life. Amen. He's put up with me. I love him. He's an amazing pastor. Yes. He's an amazing father. He just had a birthday. I'm so glad. You know, I wouldn't have anything that I have today if it wasn't for him. All my needs are met. Every time I belly up to the table, everything I wear, the clothes, the house, he's provided. Amen. He's a provider. Amen. Then that's, I'm going to go to my seat. I always want to praise God.
Yes.
I always want to praise God. So this is a blessed opportunity. Amen. You people are the body of Christ. I learning to listen. That's what the Lord wants me to do. He told me, you don't listen. Help me, Lord, turn up my hearing aid. Amen, to be sensitive to you. I love knowing him and knowing what he says and just dropping into where you know what he thinks and everything. Okay, I don't want to take up too much time and sit down.
Amen. God bless the testimonies. And, you know, I've heard it twice now this morning. You know, we want to try to control our emotions, but you're not in control when you come in here. The speaker and the hearer got to get out of the way. So he's in control of your emotions. He's in control of your faith. He's in control of all that you are. When he moved in, he took over. That's what Brother Branham said.
That's right.
So by way of announcements, this evening we have the Christmas service at 6 o'clock. And on December 25th, we have no service. That's next Wednesday. That's Christmas. And then we've got Brother Rosaldo coming in on the 29th. And he'll be here before that, correct? Yep, he'll be here for that next Sunday service. And then New Year's service is on the 31st. And food will be served prior to the service at 6 o'clock. And we've got service starting at 8. I was going to have like a program and stuff, but you know, like for this evening. But you know, you can't box God in that way. So it's just going to be, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know it's going to happen. So I just have faith. And after service, I have a big favor. If we could just pray for Sister Christy after the service and, you know, just, you know, ask God to touch her. She needs a touch. So I know I've been sealed. Key of A. And we'll get him up. Amen. My life was a wreck.
My life was a wreck. With burdens and cares. Had no heart to cover. Lord, my poor soul within. And I drifted afar.
Jesus will come and he'll take me away.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, we're resting on that promise that you're going to come and take us out of here. We're thankful to be sealed in your word, to know that Satan has no hope on us. He has no hold on us at all now. And Father, we come this morning to just give you thanks for who you are and what you've done for us. We ask you to just walk these aisles and talk to our hearts today. Open our eyes to your word in such a way that, Lord, we'll never be the same. We walked in here one way and we want to walk out of here a better person. Not in better in the sense of the world, but better in the sense of we understand you more clearly than we was when we walked in here. And Father, as we bring this word before the people, we ask you to move every hindrance out of the way that might try to hinder you from doing what you want to do this morning. And ask you to just come amongst us, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Touch those that are sick, Lord. Some that had surgery, Brother Jim and Sister Sue's at home now with him. And different ones, Sister Christy needs a touch. And different ones in the body, Lord, we're still remembering Trevor and Tina and her whole family. And Father, we ask you to touch Sister Judy, who's down in her back. Lord, touch her, Father. She wants to be in your house. She wants to be able to have the freedom of worship and don't want to be hindered by this flesh. And Lord, we ask you to be with her early. As you know, they're getting older and the aches and pains of this life, Lord, is affecting their lives. And Lord, we ask you to bless them. Lord, there's a Brother George in Africa who constantly asks us to pray and remember him, and the Philippines and different people around the world, the upcoming meetings that we're going to, and the 2025. We ask you to, Lord, just move in those behalf. But for today, Lord, we ask you to give us this day our daily bread. I ask you to walk these aisles and talk to our hearts and clear your word up and make it clear to us that, Lord, we will gladly serve you, that we'll lift up our eyes to heaven from which cometh our strength, and knowing that, Lord, you'll supply all of our needs. And, Lord, we've come to a point here in our lives that we're totally depending on you, depending on you to speak to our hearts, depending on you to hold us together. Help us, Father, in this hour. Thank you for this word and ask you to be with us today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again this morning. And it's good to have you all here with us. We're glad to be able to come to this place of worship. And this is the one place you don't need to hold back. I mean, I understand trying to keep yourself together in order for you to talk. But this is the place that you can let go. Let him have it. You say, oh, if I let go, I'm going to run the aisles. Well, run. Run. That's why the aisles are so wide. It's like, oh, if I let go, I'll speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. We believe in that. If I let go, I might say too much. Say whatever you feel is in your heart. And God will bless it. He'll anoint it. It's good to be here. Now, with the upcoming services at the end of the year, we only have one more Sunday in the year. And we've got Brother Rosaldo from San Diego coming to be with us. He's coming up for New Year's, and he and his wife, and they're going to be here for that Sunday service. So I asked him if he'd speak that Sunday. So this is my last Sunday service ministering for 2024. So the time is winding down. And, you know, it's almost too late to get your time in now. Because we don't have service for the next two Wednesdays. And all we've got is next Sunday. Now, are y'all going to do voices practice? Jay's not here. We're going to wait till next week. Jay's not out of town, so pray for them. They're traveling. So the next Sunday we'll do the voices practice. And that'll be our last practice before the new year. So we'll keep that in mind. It's good to be here today. And we're in the Christmas season, and you know I have to give my Christmas message. Why are y'all laughing? I got one. I ain't thinking about y'all. Y'all think I butcher every message I try to give. I try to do a holiday message, and then y'all just butcher it, just pull everything out, and the next thing you know, it's not what it was. But that's all right. You know, I was thinking a little bit ago, I said, you know, we celebrate Christmas every service. Amen. We do. We don't wait till December 25th to celebrate the birth of Christ. We celebrate him every day of our lives. It's only high holy holiday when you don't celebrate him the rest of the year. If all you got is Easter and Christmas, as the days that you celebrate Christ's birth is Easter and Christmas, then, you know, when you get to that time of the year, then you're going to really want to pump it up. Wear your best clothes and do all those things, because you are actually trying to do something that's not natural to you. You know, I don't celebrate the birth of Christ on December 25th just because everybody in the world says it's time. I'm celebrating Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I do it 7 days a week. But seeing that we're in the Christmas season, I'd like to do a reading today and talk about what probably 98% of the churches in the world are starting out with today. I won't finish there, but I'll start there. And if you want to turn with me over to Luke chapter 2, I have a reading that I want to read there. And it's a good place to start. And it's a little bit of reading. But if you want to stand with me, I think we can give God honor for this little bit of reading that we're going to do. And I was going to cut it down and not read so much because we know the story, but I think it's important for us to read it sometime just so that we'll know and our kids will know where to find it. So we'll start with verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own country. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that when they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there were with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go over to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. You may be seated. Amen. I'd like to title this message this morning, Being Led by an Angel. Amen. And I wanted to start here because there was a lot going on. And while I was reading, I even see more as I'm reading than I saw when I was studying. But here, we were at a fullness of time. That I could go over to the scripture where it says, In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. And that's what was happening. We had gotten to where time had run out for the Old Testament. The saints had come, the prophets had come, the word was all expressed and put in scrolls and prophecies made. And everything in the Old Testament that was prophesied of the coming Messiah came at the fullness of time. And more I looked at this last night and yesterday, the more I thought about it, I said, you know, God has always used angels to tell people when a great event was going to happen. He always used angels to let his children know where they stood with him. He always used angels to guard his word. He always used angels to carry his word because an angel is a messenger. And so here we are at the fullness of time. And when the fullness of time came, God sent forth angels. And they just didn't go to anybody. See, this is what's so important about this story, is that God, there's elements there that, like I said, if you can find God's fingerprint, you can find God all the way through time. You can find him all the way through the scripture. You can always find out where God is by what he does. And so if you ever want to hear from God, find an angel. If you ever want to hear what day it is that you're living in, find an angel. If you want to know how to find God, find an angel. If you want to know where he's at, find an angel. If you want to know what God's doing, find an angel. If you want to know what the message is from God, find an angel. So the more I looked at it, I thought, you know, this is really a bigger deal than what we even think, because from the very beginning of time, God used angels. He used them in the garden when the man fell in the Garden of Eden and fell in sin. He put an angel to keep us from the tree of life. He used angels in the Old Testament when he dealt with Moses and dealt with the prophets and dealt with all the ones of the Old Testament. Anytime God saw the people were in a predicament where they needed to be delivered, he sent an angel.
Amen.
Anytime he wanted to tear something up and destroy the earth, he sent an angel. Before destruction, he sent an angel. Before salvation, he sent an angel. The more I thought about it, I thought, you got to be led by an angel.
Amen.
But the thing is, people don't look for angels. They don't expect angels. They think they already know what God's doing. They think they know the will of God, the word of God. Do you realize nobody knew what God was doing when Mary had this baby? Oh, they thought they knew how God was going to come. They had their Bibles, their scrolls, they had their prophets and their preachers, and they had their church denominations. And they called them, see, we call them Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostals. They called them Sadducees, Pharisees, and Herodians. But it was still just church people, and the church people didn't have a clue about what God was doing. They didn't have an angel. Without an angel, you will never know what God's doing. Here they were in Jerusalem, the holy city, the most holy city. Sitting there with the most holy men who didn't sin, their parents didn't sin, their grandparents didn't sin, they were clean and holy, they were high priests, they were righteous, self-righteous, and they just knew God, but didn't know God because they had no clue about what God was going to do.
Amen.
But God sent an angel.
Amen.
And that angel had a message. And the message came to some lowly, smelly, uneducated sheep herders, shepherds. And the reason God came to them was because they could identify with Jesus. If you would have told the high priest to go to Bethlehem and go outside the inn and to the barn and to go in there, the high priest wouldn't have done it. The gold on his robe wouldn't have been able to walk through the manure. Do you know what's in the barn? Manure's in the barn. Chickens are in the barn. Things that are lowly to life are in the barn. High priest ain't going to no barn. The church world ain't going to no barn. They don't want to go in the barn because it's too dirty. So God didn't go to Jerusalem. He didn't go to the high priest. He didn't go to the church world. He went to some shepherds, smelly shepherds, who are out there in the field with their smelly sheep. And the reason he wanted to go to shepherds, because you know what? If you're a good follower, you can be a good leader. Shepherds are good leaders because they know what it takes to gather the sheep together.
Amen.
They know what it is to have to labor and sleep with the sheep and to lay in the barn when one of the sheep are having a little lamb and they're having trouble. That shepherd don't leave them out there. He'll go out and lay in that manure with them. He'll lay down right there where they're at.
That's right.
Amen. That's a shepherd for you.
Amen.
A real shepherd will stay with his sheep.
Amen.
A real shepherd will direct his sheep.
Amen.
A real shepherd don't care whether there's manure that he got to step over.
He don't care if he has to go to the barn. He don't care if he has to go to the lowlies and the people that don't have nothing. A real shepherd ain't worried about how good his clothes look and how clean he is. He's here to do one thing, that's to handle the sheep.
Amen.
That's why God went to the shepherds. If he'd gone to the high priest, it had never happened. Matter of fact, he wouldn't have believed him. He said, go to Bethlehem and go in the barn. That high priest wouldn't have gone in that barn. But God had to go to somebody who wasn't educated. Somebody that's not a doctor of divinity. See, the problem with the church world is they're too smart. Well, that's what Revelation says. It says they're rich and increased with goods and have need them nothing. They don't need God. I need God. I need God every day. I need God every hour. I need God to talk to me. I need God to give me direction. I need God to tell me where I'm at. I need God. I can't do this without him. I'm not doing this by education. I'm not doing this by smartness. You say, how do you get to be pastor? Not by my education. Because I'm not educated. I'm revelated. That's why I'm here. I'm not here because I got a bunch of plaques on the wall. Those doctors of divinity that you go to their studies, they got all these plaques on the wall telling you how many schools they went to. You know, the more schools you go to, the worse off you are.
Amen.
And I'm not against education because education is good if you want to get a good job. But this ain't no good job. This ain't a job. This is life. You can't educate yourself into this. You can't get smart enough to get this. You can't know enough to get this. It's going to come by getting down in the manure pile.
Amen.
It's going to come by humbling yourself. The way up is down. Neology, that's how this comes. It doesn't come by theology, it comes by neology. God has to deal with you. God has to work with you. God has to humble you. You can't even get God until he humbles you. He's not going to deal with the proud and the high-minded and those who think they know something until you can come to the end of yourself. You can't even be a... You can't even come to the barn.
Amen.
Some people never come to the barn. It's too dirty for them. They know too much. They got a degree. They're smart. So God ain't going to worry about trying to... Do you realize God don't talk to everybody? The angel don't come to everybody. The angel won't come to those who wouldn't receive him. He's not going to waste his time. He's going to come to somebody who can hear him. But Revelations 2 says, he that hath an ear, that's the only one he wants to talk to. If you don't have an ear, he don't want to talk to you. I heard it said this morning. He says, sometimes if you're not going to listen, God won't even talk to you. God's not about wasting his business. So here the hour was up. The fullness of time had come. Did the church world know it? No. They didn't know there was a fullness. They didn't know it was over with. They went around doing their same old 6 and 7, doing the same old candles, doing the same old incense, doing the same old rituals, doing the same old prayers. They were doing those prayers and didn't even know what they meant.
Right.
Jesus said they had a form of godliness, but denying the power, the revelation thereof. Oh, they had the scrolls. They had the same scrolls that everybody had. And then when we got the Bibles, they had those Old Testament scrolls. They read about David. They knew David's poems. They knew about the prophecies that Moses wrote. He'll raise up a prophet like it unto me. They knew a virgin shall conceive like Isaiah told them. They knew all those things, but to them was education. To them, they got an A in their class because they knew a virgin could conceive. But see, they didn't understand what that meant. When the reality come and when God actually brought forth that virgin, they did not even tie it together. Or if they did tie it together, it didn't mean more to them than their denomination, and they didn't do nothing about it. Show you how much they did know by education. Oh, they read the same Bible. They look at the same book. They read the same scriptures we read this morning. But they ain't talking about the angel. You know, when those wise men saw the star and they come looking for this babe. They knew he was coming. They read the Bible, the first Bible. They read the stars. The stars said a virgin should conceive. Virgo. Leo the lion. The king is coming. They knew these things. They just didn't know when. But when the stars all lined up, at the fullness of time, those wise men, they weren't called wise for nothing. Those wise men knew that it was time. So they started looking. They saw the stars line up and said, he's here. We got to find him. Let's follow the star. And when we follow the star, we're going to find that King of Kings, because it's promised according to all the scriptures and according to all the quotes in the Old Testament scrolls. He's coming. And fellas, he's here now. Now let's go find him. They knew more than the church world.
Amen.
Now let's just take this for a second, because to show you they know something, but they don't know how to tie it. The wise men were tying it together. They knew he was here. They knew he was coming. They were looking for him. Their only problem is they went to the church world. They thought, if I'm going to find him, I need to go to Jerusalem. Because that's the capital. That's where God dwells. That's where the temple is. That's where the high priest is. I'm sure they can tell us where this little babe is, because they're the church. See, that's where people make a mistake. They think just going to the church of your choice is going to get you to that babe. It's not going to do it. They went to Jerusalem. That's not even in my notes, but I'm just telling you because I know how it works. Those wise men, and it's not just three. It said wise men. It didn't say how many. Could have been 100. But they were all wise.
Amen.
And they went to the church world and asked them, where is he? King of the Jews. They asked Herod that. Herod said, what are you talking about? See? He was in the church capital. He had all the scrolls there in Jerusalem. They have the book. They have the Bible. But if you tell them that he's here, they don't know what you're talking about. And to show you their education, when Herod asked him, he brought in the smartest man, his high priest. He says, what are these guys talking about? And the church world said, oh, they're just talking about Bethlehem. That's where he's supposed to be born. It was no big deal to them. They didn't believe it. The angel didn't come to them. They had the scrolls. They knew that something was supposed to happen, but they couldn't tell you what it was, how it was going to happen, who it was going to be, and they didn't even understand Bethlehem. They're like, oh, yeah, that's according to the scrolls. It's in Bethlehem. But they didn't have a clue. They had one revelation. So you know what those wise men did? They left the church. They left them right there. Herod told him, go ahead, you guys go and find this babe and come back and bring me word so that I could come and worship me. He didn't believe it. He didn't believe it for nothing in the world. Matter of fact, he wanted to know where the baby was so he could kill him. If they could find out where Jesus is today, and if it was legal, the church world would kill him. Because it's messing up their system. It's taking away their money. You're making them look bad. You're calling them a whore. You say, what? Why you call the church a whore? Because that's what Revelation's called it.
Yeah.
Fine, a daughter. Why you calling me a daughter of a whore? Because that's what the Bible calls it. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that they're at the end of their rope. The church world in Jerusalem didn't want to hear that their time was that the fullness of time meant that they were going to lose God. They didn't want to hear that. So God didn't go to Jerusalem. God didn't go to the high priest. God didn't go to Herod. God didn't go to the high-named rich people. He went to the shepherds who didn't even have any money, who was sleeping out in the field. And when we read this, it said, he came to the shepherds by night. At the fullest of time, it was night. That means the lights went out. That means there was no light in the land. That means nobody knew what was going on. That in the dark, you can't see. In the dark, you don't know where you're at. In the dark, you can only assume that you know where you're at, but you don't know for sure. You need light to know where you're at.
Amen.
And they were in the dark, but an angel came.
Yes. Yes.
And when the angel came, it led them.
Right.
It gave them the information that they needed to have to find God.
Right.
Oh, we need an angel. I started thinking about that. I said, you know what? God's always used an angel.
Yeah.
But people don't pay angels no attention.
Right.
Not everybody. Only ones paid attention was those shepherds.
Yeah.
You know what those shepherds did? We read it. When they got there and they saw, watch what they did. They turned immediately to the word.
Yeah.
They didn't fuss about it. They didn't worry about it. They didn't debate it with the scrolls. They didn't try to figure out they had a better way. I want to read what they said. It said down here, verse 15. Listen how quickly they turned. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go. Even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass. Not let's think about it. Not let's debate it. They were believers.
Yeah.
See, when you get a believer on your hand, it's no fuss and fight. You know, you get the church all together, the Sadducees and the Pharisees and Herodians, if the angel told them that, they just sit there and debate on which city, how far, where are you going to go? Is it really a baby? Where do we go? These shepherds didn't drop one word of what the angel said. They said, let's go see now. Let's go to Bethlehem. They didn't go to Jerusalem.
Right.
You know what? When you're driving down the highway and you're behind Skyler, and on the back of his truck, I don't know if it does or not. I'm sure it doesn't. But I just use it as an example because he's a truck driver. Driving down the highway, it says, go to the church of your choice. I better not ever see that on Skyler's truck. But they did not go to Jerusalem.
Right.
And the reason they didn't go to Jerusalem, because the angel didn't say go to Jerusalem.
Right.
See, the key point about an angel, when the angel comes to you, he's going to give you exactly what you need. He's going to tell you exactly what you need to do. He's going to tell you exactly which way to go. He ain't going to leave it for your idea, for your interpretation. He's going to clear up anything that you thought you had. Because that's his job. The angel's job is to bring you the word of the Lord. He'll take a mind and show it unto you.
Amen.
I said, let's go to Bethlehem, not Jerusalem, Bethlehem, not to the church world. You're not going to find God in the church world. They've had 2,000 years. And all they've made was 1,000 denominations, everybody fighting over everybody's doctrine and fighting each other and fighting over everything under the sun and never even paying attention to the angels. So they say, let's not go to Jerusalem. Let's go to Bethlehem. And I like the way they said this. And see the thing which is come to pass. Not, well, let's so see if it's really true.
Yeah, right.
See, they weren't debating on what the angel said.
Right.
They weren't trying to figure out. They got instructions from the angel, and they believed it.
Yeah.
See, a believer will believe the angel.
Amen.
Nobody else will. Everybody else will turn it down. Everybody else will interpret to their own damnation. But if you ever get a hold of an angel, that angel will tell you what you need, and you won't debate it. You'll just receive it. People have problems today. That's why they leave the church today. They're trying to debate what the angel said. And when the angel said you have to gather yourself together, they don't think they have to. The angel said this is the only way. They said, well, maybe there's another way. And on and on and on. You've seen it. You know how it works. It takes revelation. And those fellas, those shepherds are out there, said, let's go see this thing, which is come to pass. Not see if it's going, not if. It wasn't an if about it. They knew for a fact that the angel of God had come to them. They knew for a fact that there was this place called Bethlehem. They knew for a fact that they had to go to Bethlehem to see this thing. Wasn't even a if. It's not even debate. You know, a lot of people come to church and they think, well, let me just see if it's right. It's right. They didn't debate none of it.
Right.
The angel spoke, and they just received it.
Right.
Did they understand it? No. Could they? Did they have? You know what? Those guys probably didn't even know what the scroll said because they couldn't read. They were dumb shepherds.
Right.
They didn't go to theology school.
Right.
They didn't have access to the scrolls.
Right.
They didn't have a Bible like you have. You got a Bible. That's thanks to Luther.
Yeah.
They didn't have a Bible.
Right.
All they had was the word of the angel. And all they needed was the word of an angel. A lot of us think we're going to prove it's right because we read the scripture. You're not going to prove this right because you read the Bible. You're going to meet that angel, and the angel's going to talk to you, and you're going to say it's right.
Amen.
And if you don't do that, you can't have it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You say, well, I've got to study this. This is not able. You can't study this. You can't read enough. You can't pray enough. You can't fast enough. If God doesn't personally reveal this to you, you won't get it.
Amen.
Got to be preached.
Amen.
You gotta go to Bethlehem.
Yes,
you can't go to Jerusalem. He ain't in Jerusalem. You can't hear from God in Jerusalem. Oh, you can hear him read the scrolls. They can tell you what Isaiah said. They can tell you what David said. They can tell you what Solomon said. They can tell you all these things, but to understand what they're reading, they had no clue. Remember the Ethiopian? He went down there to the church, and the church had preached him all morning. He got back in his chariots, and Philip come over there and said, you understand what you're reading? Just got out of church. Have you ever gone to church and come back with nothing? When that happens, you have missed where God's not there. Because every time you come to the house of God, you should leave with something. When you leave today, oh, you're going to have your arms full today. When you leave today, you'll have something to talk about now. But you can go to these churches and they don't have a bit of revelation at all.
Absolutely.
A lot of them don't even have any spirit in them.
Amen.
They got a form of godliness. They got candles. They got wax. They got priests. And they got, I watched one place I went to. I won't say the name of the group. Walking around with a cross on a stick. And they put all this emphasis. They pray in front of Bibles, they bow, they do all these stuff, and then say nothing. They're dead while they live.
Amen.
You say, well, that's an awful thing to say at Christmas. It's the truth.
It's the truth.
You run into an angel here. I'm going to tell you the truth.
Amen.
They say, let's go and see this thing, because I know it's real. I know he wouldn't lie to us. I know he told us the truth. So let's go see which this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord had made known to us. They knew the word of God was true. And if you're a seed of God, you know what I'm telling you is true. He said, well, I don't believe it. Huh? Probably not. There's people who don't believe it. But I'm not worried about them. The angel wasn't worried about them. All he did was went to the shepherds. And you know why he wanted to go to shepherds? Because you know what the shepherds did. I don't have it here. I didn't read on down. But if you get down there, after they got finished looking at the babe, they went out preaching. They told everybody. See, that's why he took shepherds. Because shepherds went out and they gathered the sheep together. See, they by nature, they knew how to get a congregation together. By their very nature, they knew what to do. They said after they saw that babe in the manger, those shepherds went all over the land telling about what they had seen. You think the high priest would have done that? No. If they told Herod where Jesus was, he'd come and killed him. If he told the high priest where Jesus was, they'd have made up a story or killed him.
Yeah.
They already said Mary was having a baby out of wedlock. They're already telling that story. Didn't even know the scrolls enough to know that that was the only way that the God from heaven was going to get here. Yeah, I'm talking about a Christmas story here.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. The thing about it, though they did all that they did, you know, Herod was chosen by God to do what he did. Now, if Jesus... Let's just take this for a second, because I thought about that's when I was reading this a minute ago. If Jesus had been born in this day,
come on.
Number one, I don't go to Louisiana to do the census. I fill out a little box on a piece of paper and mail it in. Jesus being born in this day wouldn't even have worked. If Joseph lived in Cincinnati, he'd have filled out the census and sent it in. See how critical things are? The first census was done by Herod, and that day, and the census was by the Romans, and that day you physically had to get up and go to where your family lineage was born. That's how God got Mary in Bethlehem. And Joseph had to be chosen because Joseph was in the lineage of David, according to the word of God. That's how they got to Bethlehem. So when you're looking at politics and you're paying attention to who's running the place, and who's making the decisions, and who's calling for whatever we're calling for, when you look at that, always remember that politics is nothing in compared to the plan of God.
Amen.
That politics is working in the plan of God.
Amen.
He never would have thought about taxing the people until God put it in his mind. Now, we found out that the taxes that this Herod said that all the people that were stranded from the birthplace must go back. Then he thought he was doing something great there. When he'd done this, and nothing that he was working, it was working exactly in harmony with Jehovah. Even though it was a world decision. See, that's why you got to understand, don't get too caught up in anything. Because even what they think they decide, they didn't decide. Because God already saw what they were going to do and made a way around it. God needed Joseph and Mary in Bethlehem. He caused them to do the taxes and said, well, you know what? They're just doing what governments do. They weren't even thinking about God. It wasn't about God. Taxes were not about God. But because God already saw it, and in his timetable, he needed Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem at the right time, at the right place, he made sure that everything was in place to call for the taxes.
Amen.
To call for the taxes to get Mary and Joseph on their way while she was pregnant. Put her on a mule that went certain mile an hour. He had to time his timetable to make sure she didn't have the baby on the way. She didn't have the baby before she left. She had the baby in Bethlehem right on time.
Amen.
They needed a little time to get the journey done. They needed a little time to look for a place because they didn't just go right to the stable. They were looking for a place. God included that time. They included that inn. God included that inn. That innkeeper had to figure out in his mind, what's he going to do for this pregnant woman because she's due. He had to have time to think about it. Even that was considered. And God included all of that to get that baby in that barn at the very time that Jesus had to be born.
Amen. That's the truth.
Amen. It's God's timetable, not ours. We ain't working to work out here. It's God working it out. God even makes your decisions right. He timetables your decision. He knows exactly when you're going to cross that angel. He knows exactly when you're going to come to the house of God. He knows exactly when you're going to make your mind up that this is right.
Amen.
And he calculates all that into your coming. We don't realize how great God is. Oh, Mary didn't just accidentally have a baby in a barn. It was God's plan. It was God's timetable. It was right on time.
Amen.
The taxation of the country was right on time. The politicians in office were right on time. So don't get caught up in the politics here thinking, oh, we're making a mistake. Oh, we're making it right. Oh, we're right or wrong. It's neither one. It's that the will of God might be manifested. And not knowing he was working exactly in harmony with Jehovah. How many of those priests probably cursed Herod at that time in the name of the Lord? How many stood up probably secretly and said, oh, this Roman, what, if we could get a hold of him, we'd do so and so and so and so, not knowing it was working exactly according to God's plan?
Right.
Amen. So what you got to be upset about? Sometimes today we curse communism. Putin, he is off his rocker. He's lost his ever-loving mind. What is he doing? He is making mistakes. He's doing this, and we're just... Sometimes today we curse communism and all these things, which I guess it deserves it. But if you only knew the truth, it's working exactly in God's hands. To do just exactly what he said it would do, he's got to raise up something to take Babylon off the earth. And he's got the instrument in his hands. You just read the scriptures. It's written right there what he said he would do. And if those ministers of the day had just read the studied the word, they'd know that would happen. See, God is in control. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the plan in his hand. That's why you need to follow the angel. That's why you need to be led by the angel, because the only one that's going to know the truth is those that the angel talks to.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Nobody else will. Brother Brown said, when they found that baby, what a joy it must have been to them, because the angel that gave them the message, they found it just exactly the way the angel said it would be. And just in the place where the angel said it would be. What a thing it must have been to them. In a manger. Why? See how easy these herdsmen was in the stable? What do you think of those theologians? What do you think those theologians would have been out there? They put a pin on their nose and said, get me out of this place, see? He would have been so out of place. He'd been in misery. But you see, it was just at home to the shepherd. God knew where to send his message, see?
Yeah.
Just exactly right. See, you don't just get to come here.
Amen.
God has to send you a message from an angel.
Yes.
And when you get here, this would be the only place that you're at home.
Right.
If you're not at home here, you don't belong in the barn. That's exactly right. In the state that the shepherds were in then, in their stable with their lamb. And he is the lamb, and we are the shepherds. A vindicated message that they had heard. How beautiful. In the presence of Messiah, vindicated word of the message. When the shepherds heard that the Messiah was on earth and came in his presence, right in their own environment, and found the message to be true, was vindicated there, how it must have made those men feel to find that God had done this great thing for them. How do you think you felt?
Amen.
When you come into a place, I didn't know Fairborn even hardly existed. I knew Wright State was here. I knew Wright Pat was here. As far as I'm concerned, that was it. But to come in the stable in a church that had a heater at the top, and your feet was cold, homemade benches.
Amen.
Then the second half of the week, we come up to this church that they called the big church, but this is not even a quarter of the size of the church that I went to.
Amen.
But when I came into this barn, oh, it looked right. It smelled right. It felt right. I kicked my shoes off. I made myself at home. I was amongst the sheep. I was amongst the animals. I was amongst the dung. I was right in the place that I was comfortable in. And I brought people to church, and I almost did have to give them a clothespin. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't stand this. I can't stand it. But the angel said, doesn't matter what the angel said. My denomination said, my background is, I can't do this. And I don't like y'all singing. Y'all testify too long. Y'all preach too long. Why can't y'all just put a little candles out and do a little Christmas service and make us comfortable and talk about Jesus being born in a stable? And why don't you make us comfortable here and put some cushions on the seat and put a choir in the stand and put some stained glass swindles around here? And why don't you do something? Pick this place up a little bit. You might draw more people. I don't want more people. I want somebody that can come in the barn and look around and say, oh, this is nice. I like them to come here and be comfortable. I don't want you sitting at home if you could be here. I want you in the house. You don't want to come here because it doesn't smell right to you. Your internet is your clothespin. But you need to get in the house. You can't find the babe unless you get in the barn. Whenever God sends an angel, people have the ability to follow him. Let me give you an example. Matthew chapter 1. Joseph was having an issue. He was going to marry this lady, and she called him to the side, Joseph, there's something to tell you. I'm getting ready to have a baby. Now, Joseph was older than her, wiser than her, and he knew how to have babies. And Joseph's like, Mary, what's happening here? She's like, Joseph, honestly, an angel come to me. An angel told me that I had received was of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph loved that girl. He's like, you're just naive. You're young. Somebody drug you. Somebody do something to you. Come on, you can tell me. I'll still love you. I'll have to put you away, but I'll love you while I'm doing it. And Joseph was having issues. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, verse 18, chapter 1. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, he's a good guy, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example. They didn't want to throw her out there. He didn't want to throw her under the bus. Not make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought these things, he's like, I'm going to ditch her. I'm going to do this. I don't want everybody to know I'm doing it, but Mary's got to go. I can't explain to my family that she's coming to the wedding pregnant. That it ain't going to go over. So I got to ditch her. So, but while he thought on these things, behold, an angel again. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people, from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Listen to what Joseph did. Then Joseph began Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bid him, and took unto him his wife. Turn quickly to the word. He didn't need a month. A lot of times people say, well, I'll go 3-4 weeks and see, you know, at Bethesda. Oops, at my old church. Oops. At my old church, you go to Sunday school 3 weeks in a row, and you're a member of the Sunday school. You go to the church, they put the chair out, and you come up and sit in a chair, and you join the church. You know, they got ways to get you in. But that ain't God's way. He said you must be born again. You must repent, be baptized. I mean, all this is in the scripture. You can't get this another way. Joseph could have done all those things to Mary that he had in his mind. But when he heard from the angel, he quickly turned to the word. Anytime a child of God hears the word of God, they turn quickly to the word. I can talk for myself. It didn't take me 6 months. I come that first week and I heard Brother Childers, he just roared all over me. Told me things I never even thought I wanted to know. But then it awakened something in me. It says, I may not like it, but what he's saying is the truth. See, that's the thing that the believer can't get away from. We can't get away from truth. Everybody else compromises the truth. Oh, they'll settle for us this church, or they'll settle for that church, or they'll go to Christmas programs and Easter programs, and they'll do the things that they do in the world, but not the believer. Amen. When they hear the word of God, it's over. Yeah. It's like, I didn't even like what I heard. I'm honest with you, I didn't like it, because I already had an idea of what I thought God was. Brother Chills told me, yeah, you aren't even born again. You don't even have it. You don't even have it. What kind of... No, it didn't make me feel good. God stripped me when I came here. All of my thinking, all of my history, all of my signs and wonders, all of my tongues, all of my emotions, he took all that out. And handed me the word and said, now eat this. You eat the word, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen.
You put the word first,
yeah,
and everything else you need will be added unto you.
That's right.
I've done it. I've seen it. I know how it works. Uh-huh. You got to listen to the angel.
Yeah. Right.
And do exactly what he says, not partially, right, not peacefully, put it part. Well, yeah, I know he said he's in Bethlehem, but let's give it a year or two and see if we finally get over it. And, you know, I got to never visit those shepherds. The only reason God visited them is because he knew that they would receive him. And by his foreknowledge, he knew that they would follow his word. By God's foreknowledge, he knows that I would follow his word. So God ain't taking chances with people. We take chances. We take chances with everything because we don't know the future. But God knows the future. God ain't taking chances with his bride. If he comes to you by an angel, he's either come one or two things. He's either come to curse you or bless you. And you're cursed if you turn him away, if you don't do what he says. And you're blessed if you do what he says. Joseph did what he said. And I'm pushing through this because I know we got to get out of here. We're coming to church earlier tonight. Joseph was blessed. Everybody is not pleased when the angel comes. Matthew chapter 2, Herod. Verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, the day of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east in Jerusalem, saying, where is he is born, king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now listen to verse 3. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled. And all the church world with him. Everybody don't love the truth. Oh, they say they do until you tell it to them. Then you find out really what side of the bread they're buttered on. The church world was troubled with the world. They should have been excited. They should have been turned on. They should have run to Jerusalem. I mean, to Bethlehem. They should have run. They shouldn't even gone by Herod. Because Herod represented the world order. But when the church and state unites, which they are, again, and you go after that, you'll be troubled at the coming of the Lord. That's the thumbprint. The church world doesn't want this. They say they do. They're all talking Jesus being born today. It's okay. That's good. But that's history. We can talk about Abraham Lincoln. But Abraham Lincoln can't help us today. History can't help you today unless you learn from it. So there are people when the angel comes that they don't actually get led by him. They try to follow their own thinking. See, the church world don't want to lose their money. They don't want to lose their status with the state. They marry with the government for popularity. I don't know much about power, but I'm thinking there's got to be something about power that's addictive. I watch them when they go to D.C. and they represent a state or something. They change. They go. They get there. And then all of a sudden, well, compromise a little bit here, compromise a little there. If I compromise here, I get a little more power. And I get a little more power, and I get a little more power, and I get more. Church world does the same thing. You come in, and you first come in as a laity. First thing he's shooting for is to be the head of the usher board. I'll kill for that. And you'll climb all those ushers till you're the head of the usher board. Then you're at the top of the pyramid there and you look across the way and you say, ooh, I see this minister's got more power than me. Then you become a minister. And then you want to be the head minister. And you start climbing that ladder. And next thing you know, you're the pastor. Then it's not enough to be a pastor, because I heard them call that brother down the street bishop. So now I got to be bishop. I got to do whatever I got to do to be bishop. Now that I'm a bishop, I got to head the whole preacher's union. And when I get up to the top and I'm the president of the union, I'm handling 100, 200, 300 churches, all calling me bishop. Powerful. Then I see the president needs a preacher. So I'm going to be the president's confidant. Could you imagine how much power and authority comes with a position like that? All you got to do, you got the presidents here? So I'm thinking, I says, there must be something about this power hunger that changes people. That's why I like keeping us humble here. We don't have no big shots. We don't have nobody's more important. The only one that got a chair of his own is one person, too, but that one's expected. He should get his, but the guy there, we won't call no name. He's sitting in his seat, you know. But everybody else got a seat in this place. Ain't nobody got a seat. Nobody owns no chair. I like to mix y'all up every once in a while just to keep you humble. But y'all don't like doing that. John told me, I got to keep my stuff in bags because you get us up. We got to haul our stuff to somewhere else. Nothing's locked down around here. You don't have no assigned seats around here. You don't see no nameplates on the sign that says Brother Moore's seat here. You can park where you want. I won't even have a pastor parking spot. Sometimes I wish it did. Because I come in here and y'all got all the seats, all the parking spots taken. I'm like, oh man, I got to maneuver back up for it. If I have my own spot, get here earlier. That's right, Brother Lockett. That's a lesson I learned. But we don't have no positions where you got more power than somebody else. There's no big eyes and no little U's in Christ. God comes, he brings the angel to everybody. The angel just didn't come for one. He comes for us all. Amen. That message that he sent and gave to the shepherds didn't just go to them, but they went and told everybody about it. This revelation that I have, I don't just keep it to myself, but I let you know about it. Won't read it, but Jacob over there, Genesis 32, wrestled with the angel. So see, the angels, he's here with a message. He's here to change your life. He's here to change your walk. He's here to fix you up. Jacob got hold of that angel, and he's like, fought with him all night long. Some of y'all can't even, well, like the disciples. Jesus said, pray with me, and y'all sleep in 10 minutes. Jacob wrestled with that angel all night long. When you get hold of the angel, don't let it go. Don't take him lightly. Don't replace him with your own thinking, your own ideals, your own ambitions. Jacob said, I ain't going to let you go till you bless me. That's what we should do. When we get hold of the angel, when we hear about our angel, we should not let him go till we get blessed.
Amen.
Angel said, come on, Jacob. It's getting to be daylight. I got to go. I got to go, Jacob. He said, I ain't letting you go. They wrestled and wrestled. And that angel's there. Boom. Changed his walk. Jacob walked out of here. He was a different man. Matter of fact, he changed his name. That's equivalent to a new birth. You don't stop wrestling with the angel till you get a new birth.
Amen.
You don't stop wrestling the angel till he changed your life. He changed your walk. He changed your desires. He changed what your position is in life. That's what happens when you run across the angel. You don't walk away the same. You hang on to him until you walk different. If you get hold of the angel, you walk out the same. You never drop nothing, never change nothing. Your life don't change. Nobody can see it different. You go to your parents' house and you look the same. You go to a job and you act the same. You go to your neighbors and you talk the same. Your best friends, you talk and walk and look like dirt. Just the same as you always done. Then you ain't been touched by the angel.
Amen.
Because you should want to change.
Right.
Because you shouldn't like what you are. If anybody likes who they are, they're self-seated, conceited. They got a spirit on them. Because there's no man that likes himself. There's got to be a change. You should want to change. There should be a desire in you to change. And when the angel gets a hold of you, and you get a hold, see, you got to get a hold of the angel too. It's not enough for you to just get in the presence of God. You got to snatch him up. You got to take the book, and you got to eat it. You got to want this. If you don't want this, it don't want you.
Amen.
If the angel gets away from you and you don't wrestle with it, then it's on you.
Amen.
Jacob said, I got to get something out of you. I ain't going to just walk away here the same. And he wrestled with that angel. And the angel changed his walk, changed his name.
Right.
And that's the same thing the angel does to us.
Right.
It'll give you a leadership. It'll lead you. It'll guide you into all truth. That's what Jesus said he was going to do when he comes to you. He's going to lead and guide you into all truth. Brother Branham said, what the church needs to do is to do like Jacob. Pray till you get a V-Day. What's a V-Day? A victory day. When you overcome, we shouldn't be down and out all the time. Somewhere along the line, we should overcome. Somewhere over the line, we should press towards the mark and become the strongest Christian that the devil ever fought. Wrestle with that angel till we get a V-Day. That's right. Jacob had a wrestling party. He wrestled all night long with the Lord, but he said, I'm just not going to let you go until I get the victory. And then there about daylight one morning, he had a V-Day. He didn't walk the same anymore. But on this side, he was a great, big, strong, fearful church member. That's what he was before he wrestled. But on the other side, he was a little limping priest, or prince, rather. A little limping prince with enough courage to fight the whole army. That's us. When you wrestle with the angel, you might go in there thinking you're something. But when you wrestle with that angel, it's going to humble you. This word humbles you. That angel humbles you. When that angel came to those shepherds out there, it didn't make them boastful. We're the first ones. We're the only ones. No, it humbled them. They humble themselves when they come into his presence. It should humble you when you come into his presence. Don't come in here proud, thinking, oh, you know what? Ain't nothing worse. Ain't nothing worse than somebody practicing their testimony at home. You come in here, you already know. And I ain't talking about writing things down because I forget things. I write down my notes for the service. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about somebody gets up in front of the mirror, practices, and make sure it sounds good. Make sure they raise their hand at the right appropriate times, and hallelujah is at the right place. And then they get here. Oh, this Sunday morning now. I'm not gonna do a Wednesday night or Sunday night. I gotta make sure it's on the internet and everybody's here. And then okay, today's the day. Today's the day. Hallelujah. I have a testimony. And you'd realize that everybody in the place can tell when it's rehearsed. I thank to God for saving me. Well, I thank him for saving me. Yeah, that's what I want to say. Everybody's like, okay, get this over with. Wind it up. Because it's rehearsed. It's not real. God wants something real. He wants you to come in here humble. He wants you to come in here meek. It's the grace of God that I made it back to the house of God. It's the grace of God that I'm here today. It's the grace of God that I even get to stand up before the people of God. I'm humbled by your presence. Like Brother Branham said about that preacher who was all proud about his message. He come to church and had his message all ready to roll, and he just knew he was going to burn them. He come down the aisle, chest stuck out. Oh, I'm going to tell y'all today. I got a message today from the Lord. He talked to me, and y'all getting ready to get it. And he got up there and butchered that thing so bad, he took his head and lowered it. Got his little Bible, went back to his seat, went and sat down. Brother Branham said, had he gone up like he come down, he would have come down like he went up. So you humble yourself when you come to the house of God. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Sight of the Lord. Where's the sight of the Lord? In front of his people. Not going to read it because it's already 12 o'clock. But I'm going to tell you. Saul, who got a name change again, named Paul, met the angel, changed his life. I don't see anybody who ever met the angel who really believed the angel where their life did not change. If you believe the angel, your life will change. Won't do it. Brother Branham said Paul dropped his ambitions. But let's look. Revelation chapter 1. There's always been angels. Even in the building of the church, God used angels. Revelations 1 and 20. The mystery of the seven stars, which thou saw in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks, which thou sawest, are the seven churches. Now, God had angels for every age, right in front of our eyes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Those are angels. The stars are the angels. The angels came to every age. And when the angel come, he come with a message just like he did to the shepherds, and he gives that message, and only the believers can hear it.
Right.
Everybody else will go to Jerusalem. Everybody else will avoid the barn. Everybody else will have their own ideas. Everybody else will serve God in their own way. You can't serve God in your own way. You got to go by way of his angel. He sends the angel to give you an understanding of how to serve him. We're always led by an angel. Every age was led by an angel. Every church age was led by a messenger, which was a man sent from God, an angel to the church. Right. Do you know those angels were in his right hand?
Wow.
They're right there in his hand, right hand of power. He gave them power
right.
to take a message to the world. Yes. And they did.
Yes.
And everybody who was supposed to follow that angel heard that angel and turned quickly to the word.
Amen.
It wasn't a battle, wasn't a fight. It was what God gave that angel to give to the people. They always had angels.
Right.
And he had in his right hand seven stars, Brother Branham said. Now, of course, we already know from verse 20 what the seven stars actually are. And the mystery of the seven stars are the angel messengers of the seven churches. Now, we can't make a mistake here in knowing on any account as he interprets it for us. These seven stars are the messengers to the seven successive church ages. They're not called by name. They're just set forth as seven, one to each age. From the Ephesians age on down to the Laodicean age, each messenger brought the message of truth to the people, never failing to keep it the word of God to a particular church age. Each one held it. They were steadfast in their loyalty to the original light. Every age had an angel. You said if I'd have been one of those disciples, one of those shepherds on the field out there, I'd have followed him to Bethlehem. Would you? If you don't follow the angel we have now, you wouldn't have followed the angel back then.
That's right.
Because you got to be led by an angel. Every age was led by an angel.
Yeah.
You say, oh, I would have been in Bethlehem. You might have been in Jerusalem.
Right.
You got to have an ear to hear.
Yeah.
You got to be in a place where God can deal with you. You got to be in a place where you can receive an angel. Because it's all, and the more I thought about this last night, I thought it's always been angels. It's always, all the way through, been angels. And when we go over to Revelation 10, I'm not going to read it, that mighty angel that comes down in Revelation 10, he came down to the seventh angel. The seventh angel wasn't the mighty angel. The seventh angel was one of the six, one of the ones that God sent with a message for the hour that they were living in. But after that angel, the mighty angel came down. And when the mighty angel came down, he tied all seven together. He told us the whole story. He told us everything that we needed to know.
Amen.
He didn't leave nothing in the dark. We were open. Our eyes were open to the entire story. Just like those shepherds were on the field. He told them, go to Jerusalem. There's a baby there. They told them all they need to know. That mighty angel is coming this day. And just as much as they were led by the angel, we're led by the angel. That mighty angel has come on the scene and now we know all things. He said, well, we don't need to follow angels anymore. We've got the Bible. You don't even know what the Bible means without the angel. The angel interprets the Bible. The angel tells you what the Bible means. How can you hear except to be preached? How can he preach except to be sent? Do you know that's in the Bible? You can't get this on your own. You say, I don't need it anymore. Many people have said it. And this year we've lost a lot of people, including some of my family. Not here now. Sad about it. But you know what? You got to listen to the angel. There's no better way, no other way, no other sacrifice, no other way in. You say, well, I'm going to find a way. Look all you want. Outside of the angel, you won't know what's going on. How in the world would anybody have known what was going on that hill with those shepherds outside of the angel? They had the church. They had the politics. They had it all in their hands and still didn't believe the angel. Run all you want, look all you want, search all you want. Outside of hearing an angel, you won't get the mind of God. You won't know what God's trying to say. You got to stay right where the word is.
Amen.
Because that's all the angel's going to bring. He has nothing else to offer. That's why I tell people, I don't have anything else to offer you. All I have is the word of God. If you don't want the word of God, I have nothing else to give you. I have no help for you outside of the word of God. And people will be like, well, I'm going to find a better way. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to see if there is God. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And they make all kind of excuses, but they're not where the angel is.
Yeah.
And you think the angel's only here coming to William Brown. No, the angel's here this morning.
Amen.
The angel's still here. The angel's still leading. The angel's still guiding. He's still talking. But people don't want the angel. That's why they don't come to the house of God.
Right.
But you can't be led by the angel if you're not where the house is. You can't just go to the church of your choice. You got to go where God's angel is talking.
Yeah.
And if you don't do that, you'll miss God. You say, well, I'm a good person. They all were good in Jerusalem. They were church people. They would go to church more than you do. Their lineage was cleaner than yours. Somebody in your family's done something wrong if it wasn't you. Nobody did wrong in those lineages, or they took them out and stoned them. So they were righteous people. They were clean people. They were perfect in the eyes of man. But in the eyes of God, they had nothing in them to receive the word of the angel. Jesus, the mighty angel, asked him in St. John 8, why can't you hear my words?
Amen.
Even because there's no place in you. If you don't have any place in you, angel could talk all he wants, and you'll never pick it up. You still have to be led by an angel today. It's not enough this morning to just talk about Bethlehem and Jesus and the manger and Mary and Joseph. I did all that. But if I didn't bring it up to today, I'd have done nothing for you this morning. You'd have gone home with that same Bible story that you came with, and you'd have been feeling good about yourself, but never take that step that says, I need to wrestle with the angel. I need to hear that angel. I need to stay right where the angel is. If I can get that to you today, I've done my job. If you can't receive that today, if you can't hear the word that the angel has spoken, and you're still here wondering if this is right for me or not, let me tell you this morning, it is right for you.
Amen.
It's your decision.
Right.
You can either take it or leave it. You can believe the angel or not. You say, well, you're telling us that you're an angel. Yes. I'm bringing you a message from God.
Amen.
When I bring you a message from God, I'm his angel.
Right.
You say, you don't look like an angel to me. None of the angels ever look like what people expected. But don't worry about what I look like. Worry about the words that I'm telling you that God is saying. Because God's word is God. And if you hear his word, you hear his angel.
Amen.
And when you hear from God's angel, you can be led by that angel. Just as much as those shepherds were led by the angel, you can be led by the angel this morning. You can be led by God today. You can wrestle with him and find out what he wants from you. And your life can be changed today. You don't have to walk out of here like you walked in. You can walk out of here changed. Just grab hold of that angel and say, Lord, I'm not going to let you go. I don't care whether you're young or old. I don't care whether you think you've been born again or not. I don't care whether you had an experience with God or none at all. Today is the day that you can take this angel home with you. Grab a hold of him and say, I won't let him go. I won't let him go until he changes my walk. That angel is here to lead you today. He can lead you today if you want to be led. He can lead you today just as much as he led those shepherds. Just as he led everybody else in the Bible. I could have given you
Example after example after example after example of the angel talking and dealing with mankind. He hasn't stopped doing that. He's doing it right now. But you have to have faith to believe that's him. Let him change you. Let him have it. Let him move your life to where it needs to be. It doesn't have to be in shambles. It doesn't have to be a wreck. It doesn't have to be full of doubts and fears. And like Melanie said, you could be resting today. You could move into a place that you've never even knew existed. A place where you just rest, knowing he's got it. It doesn't matter what Herodian calls for. It doesn't matter if they tax us. It doesn't matter what they say. People get complaining about, oh, we got to pay so many taxes. It's Caesar's. He actually owns it all. He's trying to get it all, but he owns it all. It's his anyway. This world is not ours. We need to focus on what really matters, what really counts, and let that guide your life. Let that direct you. Then when sickness comes, it won't take you over. When problems come, finances come, it won't run you down. When you're in trouble with the law and everything else that hits you, it won't bog you down. Because you know what? I've heard from the angel. And I've become one with that angel. I've wrestled with that angel. And he and I have become one. And now there's nothing that can come my way. As Seth said, nothing's going to separate me from the love of God. Nothing will. Because I'm being led by an angel. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful this morning that you're able to walk us through the Word and show us where you've been there all the time. And God, we're so grateful for that leadership that you provide to us. That we don't have to walk around here wondering and guessing and trying to figure this out. But God, if I just follow the leading of that angel, it'll direct every step. I can step in the right places. I don't have to step on grenades. I don't have to have my life ruined. I don't have to mess things up. But I can follow you wholly and let that angel lead me through this life. Oh, it's a Christmas season, but Lord, every day's Christmas to the believers. We worship and praise you for what you've done every day, not just December 25th. And God, I pray that if there's some here that hasn't let you lead them, let them surrender it today. Let them give it all to you. And lead us, Father. Lead us, Lord. And Father, we want to remember Christy right now. Lord, she needs a touch from you. And we thank you in advance for the answering of her prayers. Because she's listening to the angel. And the angel also said, by your stripes we're healed. We don't have to take what Satan says, but we can believe you. Those that are needing a touch from you in the body, do it, Father. Thank you for this congregation. Thank you for this word. And let us walk out of here stronger, more determined than ever before. Oh, I can see us changing, but I want us to change more. I can see us moving forward, but I want us to move forward more. I can see us standing up for the Word and putting down this world. And the flavor of the world is just, Lord, growing strangely dim. And I can see believers wanting to be believers and standing as believers in the middle of all of this ungodliness. Thank you for all that you've done, Lord, and bless us and help us to stand stronger. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
One thing I do want to announce, tonight at 6 o'clock, don't forget, but there also will be cookies afterwards, so we'll have a little fellowship after the program, so I just wanted to remind everybody of that.
Fellowship afterwards, and also, for those who might be tuning in on the internet, we are going to broadcast it tonight. We normally don't broadcast our Sunday night service, so we're going to we're going to turn it on tonight. Service is at 6 instead of 7, so keep that keep that in your mind.
Hey, Dave.
Hey. I just wanted to get my time in, you know. I was passing the mic, so might as well. I just thank God.
You're getting banking off of Jeremiah.
I just want to thank God because, you know, this place is nothing but the truth. And I believe every single word. I've been here a long time, and I still believe it. It's the same faith that I had when I got here. It's just it's more emphasis on it, and I just thank God for that, and I thank God for the preaching here, and love you guys.
Amen. 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 God bless you. All hail King Jesus. He of D. Good to have you all here. Do come back. All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel. He's the King of Kings, the Lord. Almighty God, and throughout eternity, I'm going to praise Him.
I will praise His name. You're dismissed.